The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Can you have a gospel, a saving message, without the cross? Why do some say that free gracers disregard the cross? Hello, friend. This is Grace in Focus, and we're glad that you're with us today. Today, we are going to answer an accusation that the Grace Evangelical Society presents a crossless gospel. It's not true, but we'll talk about it in the next few minutes. Learn more about the Grace Evangelical Society by going to our website, faithalone.org. There you can read and research from our hundreds of published articles, find books in our store, free ebooks, read and subscribe to our blogs, and find out about our national conference. That's faithalone.org. Now with today's discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Bob, today we're going to deal with a complaint that we commonly see on YouTube regarding GS and their teachings. GS teaches a crossless gospel.
Okay, let's talk about this crossless gospel charge. This first came up in 2008, as I recall. There was a book written, a very large book, charging us with a crossless gospel. And this was all based on two messages that Zane Hodges gave back in 2000 on how to lead a person to Christ, part one and part two, at our national conference. And then we published those in our journal.
Yeah, I remember that conference. I was there. But
yeah,
Zane's main point was a person needs to believe in Jesus for everlasting life. That's the core essential element to be believed. The cross and the resurrection, those are wonderful truths, but those need to lead a person to believe the truth that Jesus gives everlasting life to every believer in him.
Right. He was basically saying the bullseye, the center, the target is believing in Jesus's promise of everlasting life. He used an illustration, which came to be called the deserted island illustration, of a man on the deserted island, and a piece of scripture washes up, and it said, Jesus said, he who believes in me has everlasting life, John 6:47. And he said, if that man believed just that and was convinced of that, he'd be born again, even without any other facts about Jesus or anything else.
But he did know that the person making that statement in John 6:47 was Jesus, because I remember Zane was very careful. He said, another part washed up that said, Jesus said. So you knew who was the person saying that statement in verse 47.
Right. And I think he also said in the message, we're not talking about Jesus in the barrio.
Right.
We're not talking about some Jesus today. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Jesus of Scripture.
Right.
So some people said, well, he was saying this could be somebody named Jesus, or this could be a frog named Jesus, or all kinds of fanciful things. Well, Zane went on in these two articles to say that he considered it essential to preach the cross, because only by understanding the cross and the resurrection could people believe that this person named Jesus actually fulfills such an amazing promise. And so a lot of people left that out, that he considered essential to preach the cross. What I would say is what we in GES teach is that the bullseye is Jesus' promise of everlasting life. And what we at GES preach is that a DDR message, deity, death, and resurrection message, is insufficient for a person to be born again. Everybody in Christianity believes Jesus is God and that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again. That's true of Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox. That's true of every flavor of Protestant, whether they believe in work salvation or lordship salvation. Even the cults, the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, say they believe in the deity of Christ. Now, they believe he's a lesser God, that he's not eternal, all kinds of things. But I found that a lot of people who preach that you must believe in the deity of Christ and the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ don't explain what you have to believe about his deity. For example, they don't ask people, do you believe Jesus is eternal? Do you believe in the Trinity?
Do you believe he created the world?
Yeah. Do you believe he created the world? Do you believe that he has all the attributes of God? That he's equal with God the Father and equal with God the Holy Spirit? People don't ask that. They just want people to profess that they believe in the deity of Christ. So this crossless gospel charge is what Hodges would call a canard. It's a dodge. What we proclaim is that a person is born again by faith in Christ apart from works. And I've not ever met anybody who believed in Christ for everlasting life without believing in his cross and resurrection. Now, if you want to ask, is it hypothetically possible that could happen today? My answer would be yes. And if that makes me a crossless gospel person, then sign me up. But the thing is...
Actually, I am somebody you've met that has...
Well, how?
Well, basically, when I was told the saving message, the person told me about the cross, but he didn't tell me about the resurrection. But what he had told me about the cross and what I knew that Jesus was the one that had walked on water and fed the 5,000, and I knew the Bible was a special book, it was enough to convince me that the promise in John 3:16 was true, what Ephesians 2:8-9 was true. But it was only until a few weeks later that I found out the Easter story. I mean,
but you didn't know Jesus had risen from the dead at the time you believed that?
No, he wasn't told me. Maybe he assumed that, so he left that out. But then after I've looked at some tracts, a lot of tracts even commonly forget to mention that he rose again on the third day.
Okay, good point.
Yeah, so I am one, but that state of not knowing about the resurrection was probably a few weeks or a few months.
Okay, but notice you weren't crossless. You were resurrectionless.
Yes, I was resurrectionless, yes.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
The thing about it is, almost everybody who talks about the crossless gospel includes the resurrection, right?
Right.
They say if you don't believe in his death and resurrection.
Yep.
And most of them also include deity. That's why I say DDR.
Yeah.
But here's my point. If you look at the Gospel of John, it's crystal clear that the 11 born-again disciples, who he said you were clean, but not all of you, referring to Judas, the 11 disciples who believed in him and were already born again, they did not yet believe he was going to die on the cross and rise from the dead. They believed he was going to establish the kingdom right then, and he never was going to die. In Matthew 16, when he tells them, I'm going to Jerusalem to be mistreated and to be killed, and to rise on the third day, Peter says, Matthew 16, verse 23, this will never happen to you, Lord. He actually contradicted the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's important to recognize that the disciples were born again before they believed in the cross and the resurrection. So was the woman at the well. So was Nicodemus. None of them grasped that Jesus was God in the flesh. None of them believed he was going to die on the cross or rise from the dead. And so it's at least hypothetically possible that could happen today. And okay, you're an example of someone who believed in the cross work of Christ, but didn't believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ, or even any resurrection. I don't know how many people in the history of the church believed in a sort of spiritual resurrection, that Jesus rose spiritually, but not physically. And how many children get that Jesus rose bodily from the dead? And how many children have a good grasp of the deity of Christ? For that matter, how many adults?
Right.
I can't tell you how many adults I've met that believe that Jesus was the Son of God in the same way that I'm the son of my father.
Well, you're teaching Christology. I'm sure you don't get 100% on every answer from all the students.
Right. Now, I mean, students get this, but the truth is there's all kinds of errors in terms of the union of deity and humanity called the hypostatic union. And there's lots of things that the scriptures don't tell us every single thing. Like, has Jesus forever been the God-man? Like, we know he appeared in the Old Testament. He appeared in Genesis 3:8 to Adam and Eve in the garden. He was the fourth man in the fiery furnace.
Yeah.
He appeared to Moses at the burning bush. He gave Moses the Ten Commandments and wrote them with his own finger. We got lots of examples, but we're told the incarnation took place in Bethlehem, right?
Yeah, you may have some misunderstandings about who Jesus is and his deity, but the question of whether you have everlasting life comes down to, is your faith directed at Jesus, the Jesus of the New Testament, for everlasting life? That's how you get it.
Yeah.
Not whether you got every aspect of his deity correct or not.
Yeah, I heard a good talk this last weekend from Bob Bryant, in which he said that there are Easter believers and there are promise believers.
Yeah.
And then there are some believers who are both Easter and promise believers. And he said an Easter believer is someone believing that Jesus died and rose again, and that a promise believer is someone who believes in his promise of everlasting life. And he said, unfortunately, there are some people who are Easter believers but not promise believers. And he said, unless you're a promise believer, you don't have eternal life. And I think he's absolutely right. So, you know, Mike, I think what I would suggest is that that is obviously pejorative language.
Because we're not telling people don't preach the cross.
No, we do preach the cross.
Yeah.
And Hodges said specifically in those articles, I consider it essential.
Yeah. We're just telling people to preach the cross the way the Gospel of John preaches the cross. The message of the cross and the resurrection is to lead one to believe in Jesus for everlasting life.
Exactly. And I think it's important to recognize that we're saying don't leave out the promise of everlasting life.
Right.
That has to be in there. Now, some people have a concern about, well, doesn't 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4 say that the cross is the saving message? And the answer is no, it doesn't. I have an article on that at faithalone.org. I've done some videos on that. The point is, what Paul is saying there is that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ are good news. And if you don't cling to that good news, you're not going to remain spiritually healthy. That's what 1 Corinthians 15:2 says. He says, by which you are being saved. It's a present middle passive. If indeed you hold fast to the word which I preach to you. And so you've got to hold fast to Paul's promise of the future resurrection of the believer. In fact, N.T. Wright has said that the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15 is the good news that because he rose, we're going to rise. And that's what Paul goes on to say in verses 12 through 58. And he's saying we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And then verse 58 says, therefore, know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain, because we'll be raised and rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ for the works we've done. So 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4 is not saying if you believe Jesus died and rose again, you're born again. It's saying if you cling to that belief, then you can remain spiritually healthy as you live in light of Christ's soon return. So really good question.
And remember,
keep grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, is it proper for women to speak in church? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.